This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer with Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. Mary, the presentation by the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping, several days past, included metaphorical language, stern metaphorical language, bellicose stern metaphorical language, stormy seas when talking of Taiwan. And then there was more emphasis on what can be called the surveillance state, more watchfulness, more turning inward. This is not a future that looks bright, Mary, for the people of China. What do you measure now about Xi Jinping and his ambition? Are we looking at a man taking his country to war?
I think Xi Jinping's work report, so-called work report to the 20th Party Congress, confirmed what we've been discussing on your program, John, for many years. A totalitarian leader at the apex of power who has great global ambition. He's a man who seems unchallenged within the party leadership. At least that's what we are publicly seeing from these meetings. And I liked the summary that Bill Bishop, who writes a terrific newsletter about China called Sinicism, he described the speech as a quote, a mixture of triumphalism, aspiration, a sense of besiegement and global ambition, end quote. And I thought that that was a really good way to put it. This is not someone who is giving an inch. He's very bold in his aspiration to influence and, as he put it, shape the world. And he sees the communist Chinese regime as what he called a new choice for achieving modernization, meaning this program isn't just for the Chinese people. This is a totalitarian regime that has aspirations to make the world safe for totalitarianism the world over. It's very alarming. And I think what's even more alarming is the response out of Washington. Our Secretary of State also delivered remarks this week where he said that the U.S., quote, should not lose sight of the cooperative aspect of our bilateral ties. So on the one hand, you've got a totalitarian leader, the world's second largest economy, nuclear power, building blue water navy, an influence operation that spans the globe, who's bought off corporate leaders around the world. And on the other hand, who by the way, says, we still intend to conquer the democratic nation of Taiwan. And then on the other hand, you've got the United States saying, well, you know, we really do want to keep cooperating. That's just not living in reality. We've got to wake up and realize that China is not a quote unquote competitor. China is an adversary, and we need to treat it as such. And we need to rally our allies to start creating systems, be they supply chains, military cooperation, soft cooperation on things like, influence campaigns. And we need to start preparing for this challenge because it's real. The people of China are suffering under it. And unless we get our act together, we will suffer under it, too.
My observation of the speech, Mary, is that it was all in one direction, confrontation. All in one direction, escalation. All in one direction, security. Were you surprised by that, Mary, that there was no diplomatic open-handedness, no promise of another way if we talk together? Nothing.
No, I'm not surprised at all, because you just have to look at the record of what Communist China has done over the last 40 years, and you can see very clearly that there is no interest in cooperating. The only time that the regime has, quote unquote, cooperated with the West is to lure in investors so that they can copy the technology, train their people up, and then kick out the foreigners and create good Chinese competitors to U.S. industries or European companies. There were two reports this week, John, that I think are worth noting. The first was in the Washington Post, which did a great investigative piece that laid out how American firms and their products were sold through intermediaries to help the Chinese military work on missile tech. And the other came out of Britain, the BBC, reporting that up to 30 former UK military pilots are thought to have gone trained members of the China's People's Liberation Army. So, they've been in a confrontation with us for years now. They've been using our people, using our know-how, and we're finally waking up to what the program is and what the goals are. And it's unfortunate that it took us this long. It's a good thing that we've woken up. It's a good thing that it's a bipartisan concern in Washington. That's all excellent. But we need to move with a sense of urgency that I fear we don't have right now.
The one metaphor he used about Hong Kong, I believe he said we calmed the disorder there. That's how he describes democracy as a disorder. Has he always been this person, Mary? Is this the bully that that was inside the man in 2012 who presented himself as somebody who knew about America because he traveled here? We have less than a minute.
Well, remember, it was the U.S. media that presented him as a man who knew about America. And, U.S. politicians on the left and the right and U.S. corporations and financial institutions in particular who portrayed him that way because they had a pecuniary interest in doing so and a political interest in doing so. Yes, Xi Jinping has always been a very brutal dictator, a committed ideologue. But so too were his predecessors, John. I mean, there's this fiction that, Hu Jintao was somehow a softer figure, or Deng Xiaoping was, this nice man who opened up China to the West. The people of China know better. They're the ones that have lived under this oppressive regime, which has only gotten more oppressive and sophisticated in its techniques over time. We need to recognize it for what it is. We need to speak honestly to the American people about it. We don't mean to be alarmist. We need to make clear that we have a great relationship with the Chinese people. We don't have a beef with them. It's the party that we have a problem with.
Right.
And we need to talk about the fact that the real one country, two systems here is the one totalitarian dictatorship for the party elites and their corrupt gains and their global ambitions, and the China for the other 1.4 billion people who are living under their oppression.
Mary Kissel of Stevens Incorporated. I'm John Patch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.